Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
God, brothers, sisters, we're serving a God that is so deep, so high, so vast. We make an attempt as a man to bring an expression of God, to bring an expression of what the life is. The greatest of men, and we've had some great mighty men come through and walked in this earth as a man. We can start out by talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, he came, made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, Son of Man, Son of God. And there is a differentiation there because when he spoke as a God and he spoke as a man. If you go and read the writings of Jesus Christ and the things where he said, some of you have Bibles that's got red and you'll see that there was times he spoke as a man and there was times he spoke as a God. And he says in his word, he made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, both again, Son of Man and the Son of God. Some say, well, there's no difference. Well, there is a very, very much of a difference, just as me as a natural man and me as a son of God. The Bible teaches us in the scriptures, beloved, now we are the sons of God. To many of us here, we've been indoctrinated in the doctrine of the scriptures, and we believe what the scriptures say. And he didn't say that we're going to be sons of God. He said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. I've talked with ministers, brothers and sisters, that are Pentecostal men, you know, not making them any better than any others, but, you know, they claim to be the cream of the crop. Kind of got a special little place in the Word. They've been filled with this special power of the Holy Ghost that makes them a little better than others. And that's okay. I do believe in the infilling and being filled with the power of God and the Holy Ghost. And if a man doesn't have God's Spirit, he doesn't have God. He doesn't know Him. He'll never see Him without His Spirit. What is His Spirit? It's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit that comes to you and I as a man. You know, the Pentecostals and the Baptists, they'll bang heads, or a lot of the Protestant move. You know, and again, the Pentecostals will, you know, hey, I got a caller on this thing. We got, you know, a little something you ain't got. And that's okay. You know, you say, were you a Pentecostal preacher, Brother Ron? Well, I would probably be considered as one in most aspects of thought. You see, there's people are indoctrinated how to think. When you send a kid to school, they're teaching a child how to think. And there's a lot of things going on right now that they're teaching them think improperly. God knows that. The most important job a preacher has to do is teach how to think. The Bible said He'll give you the fruit of your thoughts. And if your thoughts are wrong, your thoughts can put you into eternal damnation. So thinking is a very important thing. Probably one of the most important things. You could be by yourself and you're getting ready to take on a exploit of some kind. Maybe something very challenging. And you could convince yourself to be a failure before you ever get started. It's all a state of mind. And another man had been trained to think properly. Now, I'm not going to get into positive teaching here, positive thinking and things like that, because that could be just as carnal as anything. Even though a natural man could be trained how to think positively and he could make great advances in the natural world. But he won't make advances in the spiritual world. But I will say this about the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ, it is very positive. We can do all things through Christ Jesus is what our Bible teaches us. So when the Bible teaches that we have to cast down every thought and every vain imagination, then we're going to be trained of what are we supposed to cast down. How am I supposed to be thinking? The Apostle Paul made a statement. He said, I would like to speak to you as unto spirituals. But he said, I find you still yet carnal. He said, the things I want to teach you, you should be teaching them by now. Now, I'll say this, that's, you know, a reproving scripture. I mean, it's kind of an offering of reproof to the brethren there. Hey, you should be teaching what I'm trying to teach you. I want to speak to you in this mind, in this spiritual way, but I find you carnal. The Bible says the carnal mind is death. It's enmity with God. So if the carnal mind is death, then we need to come into the mind of Christ, the mind of life, the mind of the Spirit. So we're making a differentiation there again of these two minds. Now, I had a man tell me one time, I was speaking to him about the differential dimensions of the man's mind. And he said, look, I'm the one that does the thinking in here. He said, ain't nobody else doing it. I do what I want. I go where I want. And I think what I want this end. I told him straight out. I said, that just proves that you're of the devil. Come on now. Now, if I sound kind of strong, I make my own decision. I do what I want. Well, let me tell you, when a man is making his own decisions and stuff, he is of the devil. You see, we're supposed to be in the mind of Christ. And we say, not our will, Lord God, but let your will be done. That's what the Son of Man said when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, nevertheless, let your will be done. So, I know sometimes I sound strong. Like, why don't we just smooth it up a little bit? Well, it's pretty cut and dry. It's pretty cut and dry. You're either of God or you're not. You're either of your father, the devil, or you're either born of God and you've got a spirit in you crying, Abba, Father. So when we start differentiating thinking, and I can talk about every man and woman here, as the Bible said, that all men's hearts are fashioned alike. You say it's their heart, not their mind. Well, your heart is continually evil and wicked and keep you from making it into the kingdom. It says you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. That's the believing in the heart, the problem. What is the controlling factor of this heart? Are you going to bring it all just to a mind? Well, my pastor made a statement many, many years ago. He said, I'll sum it all up in a nutshell. He said, it's a state of mind. You understand that? A state of mind. So the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind was in him? A mind that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's what the Bible says. I could take you over and read that scripture to you. Now see, you as a man are going to have a problem. You even as a Christian man, and you may think you're born again and saved. And I say, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ and thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And you say, I can't be equal with God. What was Satan cast out for? Was it because he was equal with God? No. Is it because he tried to overpower or go beyond him? But now the thing is Paul, the great apostle Paul, he made a statement. He said, I show you a mystery that when a man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. Now, how do we become one in the flesh? Someone said, well, we come into the same mind. We think the same this and that. So that wouldn't be one in the flesh. What does that mean when he said, I show you a mystery? What is a mystery? It's a secret. See, it's a secret that's hid from the people of this world. The religious realm thinks they understand that, and they'll say, well, you know, me and my wife become one. And then they'll take that scripture to prove that there's a three-person Godhead. They'll say, when he said that the man and woman become one, and then when the Bible talks about the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, it said these three are one. They say, well, they're really three persons, but they say that because it's like marriage. They come into one mind. That's not factual. That's not Bible. It's absolutely at all. The Bible said that Jesus Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You say, what does that mean? He was the only bodily manifestation of God. Now, we say this, well, he was the firstborn of many brethren, okay? The firstborn of many brethren. Now, we are the sons of God, and Jesus is our brother. You say, well, you say that he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I say, yea and amen, but we become one with him and become part of the many-membered body is what the Bible teaches. We got to stay with the Word of God, brethren. Now, the thing is we could be in denominational works. We could be in all different kind of things. We can go to seminary, college, and become a master of theology or a doctor of theology, whatever. And you could be in gross error to the scriptures and the word. We had two doctors of theology that come to this church. And I never heard so much stupidity out of one's mouth in all my life. I'm sorry, being a doctor of theology doesn't impress me. But knowing the word of God and having the spirit of the word. Now you could take a young man and get filled with the Holy Ghost, and he can have a wonderful spirit about him. You find fellowship with him. You find the spirit, you know, that's bearing witness. And you see just in love with the Lord. And he loves people and brethren. And you can get wonderful fellowship with him. But is he a theologian? Does he know the scriptures and the word? He could be a novice. But you still find that spirit that's emanating. Now you can have another one that come in and said, I'm a doctor of theology. And all of a sudden you don't get no witness with the spirit. You see, this is what we are. We're sons of God, and we find fellowship one with another. Now, one would say, well, I'm, you know, Methodist, and I ain't going to fellowship that Baptist, or I'm a Episcopalian or whatever, and I ain't going to fellowship with this one over here, with this Lutheran, you know, or I'm this and that, I'm a Catholic. You know, see, I'm not interested in all that. You know, I baptize people according to the scriptures and the word of God, and I baptize them in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible said there is no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. It's in the name of Jesus. Now, again, a Trinitarian will tell you, a Pentecostal Trinitarian will say, if you're going to lay hands on somebody and pray for the sick, they said you're going to do it in the name of Jesus. If you want your prayer answered, you're going to do it in the name of Jesus. Amen? They said if you're going to cast out a devil, you do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And then when it comes for the remission of sin, they'll tell you to go down and do it in titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They'll take you to the water and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They just lied to you. That's a lie from Catholicism. The Catholic Church converted the doctrine in 321 AD, the Nicene Council, and they converted the doctrine. That's when they quit allowing the men to be married. You see, before the 321, Catholic priests were married. In that council, they decided they couldn't be married. What a mistake. The scriptures is very clear. You're better off to marry is burning your lust. Now we got a bunch of pedophile and perverts and queer Catholic priests all over the country because some man decided they wasn't going to let them marry. Now the apostle Paul did say, if you could abstain, you know, you'd be better off. You know, but not all men can do that. Brethren, God made this man desire for a woman. And when he starts desiring for another man, he's in perversion. It's an abomination in God. If a man takes a man down to the water hole and baptizes him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, there's no authority. Those are titles. Andy's a father. Ed's a father. You know, there's many fathers in here, right? There's no power in that. The name of Jesus is what the devils will tremble over. It said, there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. That's Jesus. I had an apostolic preacher. No, he wasn't an apostolic. He was accusing me of being an apostolic preacher. He was a Trinitarian Pentecostal preacher. He said, you're apostolic. And I said, no, sir, I'm not. He goes, have you ever preached in an apostolic church? And I said, well, let me think a minute. I said, no, sir, I haven't. And he was just so sure I was apostolic because I baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, well, he goes, I'll tell you what. And he started firing on the name of Jesus in baptism. And I let him go for a minute. And I looked him right in the eye and I said, sir, I'm not ashamed of the name Jesus. I mean, you would have think I slapped that man. He went speechless. I think it caught his spirit like, wow, I'm coming against the name of my God. Amen. You know, just to follow up on this for a moment, Jesus said he came in his Father's name. Okay? And then when he said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to send one back, talking about the Holy Ghost, I'm going to send him in my name. You see, and this is when Jesus was there in Matthew 28:19. You know, when he was ministering to him, he said, go ye into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What's that name? Jesus. Now, if you don't believe that, and when your Trinitarian preacher takes you down the water hole and baptizes you in the name of the titles, he doesn't understand the scriptures. If you go into the book of Acts, who's the early church, and Peter, that very first day, said, this Jesus Christ in him who you crucified. You know, and he spoke about how he came, and that, you know, there was the authority and the power. And he commanded them all to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Now, Peter, having the keys to the kingdom, does anybody remember that the Lord gave him the keys to the kingdom? Okay, so he goes off over here, then he baptizes them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and we're going to throw that out? And then we go all down through the books of Acts, and there was nobody baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They were all baptized in the name Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That name's Jesus, but they weren't baptized in titles. I've said this, and we're going to go on to a different direction. If I had an account up here at the lumber yard or at the hardware store, and my son goes up there, and he's been off or out of town or whatever, and they don't know him, they know me. And he walks in the door, he goes and grabs all this merchandise, and he puts it up on the counter. And he says, put on my father's account. That don't mean none to those people. They don't know who he is. And they surely don't know who his father is. They're going to say, well, who's your father? Oh, that's Brother Rob Coons out here, that pastor. Oh, okay. They'll pull the count out. Well, you're his son? Now, see, there's authority in the name. And the thing is, when the Bible again said there's no other name given among men that they shall be saved, it's Jesus Christ. That's not hard to understand. But then yet, we find people that separate from me because I baptized in the name of Jesus Christ the way they've done in the Bible. And they make a decision right then, I'm going to separate from this man over the doctrine of baptism. Put Hebrews 6:1 up there on the screen, Brother Jonathan. This is why that scripture's there. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, doesn't that sound kind of a little bit like leaving the principles? Like, man, we don't ever want to do that. But listen. He says, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And go on to the next one. It says, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Now, what are they asking us to do here? Now, if you come to church and y'all been born again, okay, you've all accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, whatever you think the motions are to be born again. I understand it possibly a little bit different than the Billy Graham crusade, you know, and I'll, you know, say this prayer after me and thus us and us. They could repeat a prayer with Billy Graham or with Jesus, you know, and if their heart isn't right, it isn't going to do no good. Now, I could tell you, say this to you, and keeping things decent and in order. A man and woman, when they're married, there's a marriage relationship that's very ordained of God, and it reproduces and brings children into the world. Well, the Bible said you must be born again. You see, it's a reproduction. There has to be a relationship. And they're using the terminology of born again. Now, if I'm born again, then it's because the seed come into me. Now, when a woman conceives of a child, the blood seed of the man, the semen, departs the loins of the man, goes into through the matrix, goes into the womb of the woman, okay? And that seed is going to struggle its way down. It's going to be a battle for that thing. It's going to swim, it's going to fight, and it's going to get in there. And this egg has got to be right in the perfect cycle. The woman's got to be in the right timing. The Bible said, no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws. And if God isn't drawing a person, man, you could preach till you're blue in the face. You could talk about Jesus. You could stand on your head. You could be Pentecostal and scream and shout. Or you could be real solemn and, well, brother, let me tell you, it doesn't matter. It isn't going to, they're not going to conceive. So there's a time and a cycle in a man's life that he's going to do. Now, all flesh is feminine. You see, now you say, oh, I don't know about that. Well, we're going to take you into another dimension. The Bible said the bride of Christ. He's coming for his bride. I'm his bride. Praise God. Well, you're a man. Oh, that's going to, you know, you start teaching that, it's going to make all these faggots and queers legal, you know. And I said, no, see, that's another dimension. When a woman goes into the thing and said, well, there's no male nor female in the spirit, and that's why I'm a pastor. When it said for the woman to keep silent in church. When they tell you that, they're okay in sodomy. They're okay in perversion. It doesn't work that way. You cannot switch the gender in a dimensional perspective of that. You see, there's an order in the flesh. I'm the man. I'm the head of the home. That's my wife. My wife being under subjection to the headship of her husband. There's an order that God made. And we don't violate those orders. Well, do you beat her over the head and tell her, shut up, you're the head of the house. And you know, Christ, I'm the bride of Christ. He doesn't talk to me as his bride that way. He can. And he has told me to shut up before. Anybody ever had the Lord tell him to shut up? I've had that more than once. You say, I wish he'd tell you again. Yeah, that's all right. Amen. You better hope I don't shut up. I might be reaching for your soul. Amen. The only way that a man is going to really get where God would like him to be in doctrine or in the scriptures or in the word, he's going to have to learn. I started talking about minds, okay? We went into doctrine of baptism. Okay, all these things, we're going to fit these things together in just a moment. John, put up there on the wall, 1 John, I believe chapter 5. I'm just going to read a real quick verse right there about the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. As he's bringing that up, I'm laying a little bit of a foundation to start doing some differentiation, for we can understand what we have to do. You see, many people are afraid to speak by the Word, by the Spirit. They're afraid to proclaim what God has done for them. And many churches will call you a cult for certain things. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. If I took you back to that scripture I just had him pull up a minute ago in Hebrews 6, it said, you know, we're going to leave these principal doctrines. What are they talking about? You see, if I come to church every day and I say, man, you need to get born again. You need to get born again. And everybody in the church has been born again. Now, if one person comes through the door and the preacher by discernment perceives that he's not born of God, he's going to preach a born again and you're all going to get to hear it again. Amen. And he's going to preach about you must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. But if all the people have come to this doctrine and you just keep going over, it says you're laying again the foundation of repentance over and over. It said to go on. He was over there just a minute ago in the 6th chapter. It said to go on into doctrines of baptisms. It said baptisms with an S, right? Now I could pull up another scripture and show you that the Bible said that there's one God, okay? And right there we got one God, one faith, and one baptism. One God. Okay, now, if I'm going to say one God, but I got Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. If I ask Brother Elliot to stand up, that's one man. If I ask Brother Roland to stand up, that's one man. Correct? Now, so do I just leave it at that, or can I differentiate these brethren? Now, you have a body, soul, spirit. Has anybody ever read that in the Bible? It said to present your body, soul, and your spirit blameless. Okay, so if I got a body, soul, spirit, am I three persons? Absolutely not. The Bible says, if my spirit departs from my body, the body's dead, but I'm present with the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches. I'm present with the Lord. So that's not death. We've passed from death unto life. Y'all believe that? That's what the Bible said. We're more than conquerors. Why? Because we passed from death unto life. We cannot die. You know why we can't die? There's only one reason we can't die. It's because we can't sin. Sin is the sting of death. Now, when you're under a doctrine and your preacher teaches you that you're a sinner and you sin every day, that preacher's lying to you because the sting of sin is death. Now, I could show you, matter of fact, pull up there 1 John, the 3rd chapter. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Isn't it wonderful to be a son of God? Let's go on to verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Brethren, someday we're going to be sons of God. Brethren, after you die and take your last breath, you know, brethren, you know, no, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Let's go on down a little bit. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Aren't you thankful Jesus come to put the law away? And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Let's go on a little more. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Anybody abiding in him? If you're not abiding in him, you're abiding in the devil. Come on now. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Now, how are you going to make it into the kingdom of God if you don't know him? So now, if you are a sinner, you don't know him. Okay, it's pretty clear, isn't it? Go to the next verse. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, why would you go to a church that the pastor says that you're a sinner and sin every day? Come on now. Think about it. Why would I teach the brethren? I'm saying the blood of Jesus wasn't good enough for you if I teach you that you're a sinner and sin every day. Well, the Bible says, preacher, that all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Amen? But I come to a revelation of Jesus died for my sin, and he made me a new creature. It's the new creature in Christ that don't sin. The man is sin. But why do I want to talk about him? He was buried in a grave of baptism and resurrected as a new creature in Christ. The new creature is born of God and it cannot sin. And we read that there, didn't we? And if you sin, you're of your father the devil. You know, why do these preachers, these poor little fellas, go off to Bible college and they come out teaching a doctrine that nobody's perfect? You know, no, you're all sinners. That's a lie from hell. You're sons of God. He's made you perfect by his works at Calvary. He said, I perfected you. Amen. And he said, are you perfect, brother? In Christ I am. Now we're rending veils again. Come on now, let's talk about this. Let's rend some veils here. Okay, so I was born as a man with a sentence of death. As a man, it's appointed on me to die. Now, if Jesus Christ is the high priest of my profession, that's Bible. Okay? Now, if he's the high priest of my profession, how would I consider to call myself a sinner if he's the high priest of my profession? He took my sins to the cross of Calvary. Okay, he took them there, and he finished it. When he hung his head at Calvary, the last thing he said, it is finished, amen? What was finished? The last enemy of God was death, and he finished that. This is why we have passed from death unto life. What does that mean, you've passed from death unto life? It means you can't die. Why can't you die? Because we showed you there on the scriptures that you can't sin. Sin is the sting of death. Well, Brother Rob, what if I go back out and I drink and I smoke and I snort and I have sexual relations and outside of wedlock and do all that? You're going to tell me that I'm not a sinner? Absolutely not. I'm not going to tell you that. You are a sinner and your father's the devil. You see, I'm talking about when you're born of God. That's different. Do people that are born of God make mistakes? Sure they do. The Bible said he chastens them that he loves. And when you got a spirit and he's your father, he chastens his children. But he said, blessed is the man who God does not impute it as sin. Now you might make a mistake and he will not impute it to you as sin, but he's going to chasten you. Anybody had their hide whooped from the Lord before? Yep. Got to pick up two hands. Amen. Yeah, we've all made mistakes. We've all had failures. Does that make us not perfect? Absolutely not. He perfected us. So now we're going to have to break this down. You're saying that you're born of God and cannot sin. No, I didn't say that. The Word said that, and I'm repeating the Word because the Word's in me. The Bible said no longer the man speaking, but Christ speaking. The Lord is speaking. This is where a lot of people will separate from you and lose you right here. Because they don't know how to differentiate the Scriptures or what they are. Now, when you're born again. Now, I was born as a man into this earth just like you. All men's hearts fashioned alike. Okay, but when I'm born again, am I a born again man? No. When you're born again, you was born the first time as a man, but when you're born the second time, it says that we're sons of God. Is that hard to understand? I don't think so. I don't think it should be hard to understand whatsoever. So if I'm born again, that means that this second birth, I'm born as a son of God. God reproduced, okay, and brought forth this sonship. In the dimension that you see, I would be in the feminine perspective as the bride of Christ. We're differentiating. Okay, he's come back for his bride, took her into the secret chambers, had the relationship and put the seed in that we just read about. It said the seed remaineth in them and keepeth them from sin. So we go into this secret chamber, we receive this seed, and this is the power of life. It's the seed that keepeth us from sin. We're the offspring of God. Do you realize that? I'm a son of God. It didn't say I was a son of a monkey. If I was a son of a dog, then what would I be? A puppy, a dog. So I'm a son of God. That's not hard to understand. This is why Jesus told him, he said, you are gods. And they wanted to stone him. Because he said he was a god. And they said, but you're a mere man making yourself to be God. No, the mere man has been crucified with Christ. And now in the resurrection, I am one with God. One with Christ. The Son of God. When you say, now wait a minute, brother. You can't say that. The Bible said we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's what he says. You're going to have to know who you are. But then yet some religious, shallow preacher will teach you that you're a man and that you sin every day. And that nobody's perfect. And we all just stumble around. But my Bible says that he has perfected us once and for all by his works at Calvary. And then he also goes to say that he sent the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. So there's another dimensional differentiation right there. The man that had the keys to the kingdom, what was his name? Peter. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, get ye behind me, Satan. You savor the things that be of the flesh. You think, well, why in the world do you give him the keys? Come on now. There's a part where he blessed Peter because he had his eyes opened and he saw. And then just a few verses later, he said, get ye behind me. Now, why did he tell him to get behind me, Satan? Because he switched back over to another mind that fast. Five verses, that fast he switched into another mind. Now, you could be a son of God, a child of God, love the Lord, and then all of a sudden something catches your spirit that quick, and all of a sudden you switch into another mind, and the Lord would say, get ye behind me, devil. Amen? So we got to practice. The Bible said to press our way into the kingdom. It said to contend for the faith. We're going to have to push. We're going to have to fight. We're going to have to struggle. This lazy religious day that we're now or that we're in, the preachers will say, oh, you know, we're saved by grace, not by works. And no man shall boast. I teach that. I preach that. But I also teach that if you don't have works, you're dead on your way to hell. So you're making my works save me. Absolutely not. I'm just saying if you're saved, you got works. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. So how else am I going to show you faith in God if I don't have no works of Christ? How can I show you faith unless there's works within me? And if without works, your faith is dead. Dead faith don't save nobody. Zero. It don't save anybody whatsoever at all. Now the thing is, you go out here on the street and you're walking down the street talking to me. Hey, bro, how you doing? Hey, I'm a God. How you doing? You're probably going to be a dead something real quick. They stone him for that. You say, well, Brother Rob, are you a God? I say, it depends on what you're looking at. If you're looking at this flesh right here, it's aging. It's getting old. It's going to go back to the dust that it was made from. Is that what you're talking about? No. But one day that body will go through the transfiguration, the Bible says. A metamorphosis. That body will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortal to immortal. When we read the scriptures right there, it said that the world doesn't see you of what you already are. You see, I say I'm a son of God, and the world sees me as a man. Okay, they don't have eyes to see. Jesus, when he was speaking to them, he said, though you have eyes, you do not see. If you had eyes to see, you would have known who I am. But they didn't know who he was, and they crucified him. Now the same thing today. The religious people of this day and hour, it was the religious people that took Jesus to the cross. They couldn't kill him because they were under the Roman Empire, but they took him to the Romans and said, look, you're going to have to put this man to death. He's blasphemed everything that we believe. And the Roman Empire, to keep a riot down, they took, he said, man, I'm going to wash my hands. His blood ain't on my hands. And the people said, let his blood be on our heads and our children's children, they went on to say. And we find that there was 12 million of them or whatever in World War II killed. They cried out, said, let the blood be on our head. The Jews have been through a lot for what they've done. But they're still God's elect. Don't forget that. You say, well, they got to be born again. They are God's natural elect. We're God's spiritual elect. You got to differentiate the election now. Why does everything have to be differentiated in this church? Because you'll never understand it. You see, they're God's natural elect and they got an earthly promise. He's going to set up a 1,000-year reign and they're going to walk in this earth for those 1,000 years. They won't have the body that you have because your body had already been changed in the moment, that twinkling of an eye, and been transfigured from mortal to immortal. So the thing is you got a different body. The world don't see you as what you already are. We just read the scripture. We're sons of God, brethren. Now we are the sons of God. Amen. They don't see us. Because they don't see us, what are we going to do? Believe what they believe? Then you're thinking like a man. So you got to get that mind out of you. Cast down those thoughts. Cast down those vain imaginations and start thinking like a son of God. Amen. How does son of God think? How does the son of God think? I'm eternal. I pass from death unto life. I've been perfected by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. The Bible, I could show you in the Word. You owe it to yourself to dig these things up. And I challenge you that are listening by the internet, if you could tell me somewhere where I violated the scriptures, man, I'll stand back in here and I'll ask you to say, please forgive me. Help me. Pray for me. But my Bible says that we're more than conquerors, that we pass from death unto life, that nothing could be laid to our charge. Amen. Amen. There ain't no death, the Bible says, no hell, no principalities, no powers. Nothing could separate us from God. Amen. We're hid away in Christ. He said, where I am, you are there. Yeah. Where's that at? In heaven. Amen. Well, you're not in heaven yet. No, you're in hell. I'm in heaven. Amen. Why? Because Jesus caught me away. Yeah. You say, but I see you right there. You're looking at the vanity. You see, now here we are differentiating again. And you say, I'm telling you that I'm in heaven right now. And you say, brother, man, this you're on the earth. You know, the heaven's out there on cloud 1970-14, 53 over. And you know, we're up there on a cloud. No, you're just ignorant. You just never learned your Bible. You've been playing with children's fairy tales. You make Jesus Christ like Santa Claus. You make him like an Easter bunny. His word is real as yea and amen. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he said where I am is you will be with me, caught up. Okay, so what am I talking about? So you're saying that you're in heaven. Okay, we read in the scripture, he said, I was caught away into the third heaven. He said third heaven. I don't know whether I was in body or in spirit, but I know I was caught away into the third heaven. So if there's a third heaven, there's a first, second. Is that right? Anybody going to argue that? Come on now, this is the time. If you want to, I'm opening up the floor. If you don't think there's a third heaven, then we're going to have to throw the rest of the Bible away. Okay? So he was caught up to a third heaven. He said he saw things that he couldn't even speak. Told him to seal them up. Couldn't speak them here. But Jesus Christ said he condescended to men of a less estate. Okay, now we're going to talk. You got a body, soul, and spirit. Where's your spirit at? Where's your soul at? And where's your body at? There's three different heavens. A first, second, and a third. Your body's relative to this first, earthly, natural. You see, your soul is relative to the warfare realm. You see, if I'm going to go to hell, it isn't going to be from the sin of the flesh. I could show you that in the Bible. It's for the sin of the soul. The soul is to do with the second heaven. The body has to do with the first heaven, and the spirit has to do with the third heaven. Okay, if the Lord is in the third heaven, my spirit is hid away with him in the third heaven because it's relative to heaven. It's relative to the third heaven because it is born of God. Now this man down here is relative to the earth and it goes back to the earth. But this invisible spirit, has anybody read in their Bible that the Father's invisible, that no man has seen? That's the spirit. The Father's Spirit, no man has ever seen Him. They didn't understand Him. They didn't understand His attributes. But the Spirit, the Word, made flesh, come in and walked among us. That was Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen? Come on, saints. So the Spirit comes in. The invisible Spirit of the Father comes and manifests itself in the Word in the fullness without measure. Okay, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Are you saying Jesus is God? Yes, I'm saying Jesus is God. You can go read in Isaiah, and there is no other God besides Him. And Jesus, when He was here, they wanted to stone Him for things He said. I was before Abraham. Well, you're only 30 years old. How can you be before Abraham? That's what they said to Him. God, no beginning, no end. They didn't like that. But they don't like it now when Jesus is speaking. The Bible said, what you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you do unto me. What does that mean? It means that I no longer live, and now it's Christ. Galatians, the second chapter. The life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. What is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, and everything's not seen. It's not seen by them. But we bring it to a manifestation. We're the sons of God. We need to believe the Word. Brethren, come on. We just got to believe the Word. Amen. And we get religious. We just get, you know, we do a little Bible retention here and a little Bible retention here, and we're just religious. But we need to get in the Word. We need to know who we are in Christ. Or otherwise, we're going to perish. Jesus asked him. He said, for what good works have I done that you want to stone me? And they said, no, it's not for the good works that you've done. It's because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. And Jesus replied, but isn't it also written that you are God's? That's what Jesus said to him. So then you go back and look over in the book of Psalms. And it said, you're God's, but you die like men. Why? Why do they die like men? It says one reason, a lack of knowledge. But I know Jesus is the Word, and He's the Spirit of truth, and He would have never lied. If you think Jesus lied in the Word, we may as well throw it all away. But He said, ye are God's. Amen? Ye are God's. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ye are God's. Hallelujah. God's are eternal. Now let me tell you about some carnal-minded religious reprobate for a moment. He'll tell you like this. He'll say, Satan is the god of this world. That's the Bible. That's the truth. He's the god of this world. He's the prince and the power of this air. But they'll call Him a god. But then yet, you born a god, a new creature in Christ, and you say that I'm a god, they're going to say, cult! Run! Cult! That's what they're going to do. Come on now. Ain't that what they do? But they don't know the Word. Amen? Well, do you go around telling everybody you're a god? No, He told me to seal that up. Keep it hid, but I try to bring it to the sons of God. For they'll know who they are. For they can come out to find out who they are. And they can come forth as a new creature in Christ. They got a profession. Jesus Christ being the high priest of their profession. And they can start speaking after the profession of Christ. I'm eternal. I'm hid away. Amen. I cannot die. I pass from death unto life. I'm more than a conqueror. Nothing could touch me. Nothing could be laid to my charge. I'm eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Praise God. But see, people don't want to believe that. They think that all these big, great things are going to happen when they take their last breath. If they don't make the transformation now, let's talk about the second heaven. If you're of a man in the first heaven, you've got to make a transformation through the second heaven. Let me tell you how that was made possible. Jesus Christ came in the second heaven. He was the mediator between God and man. God in the third heaven, man in the first heaven, Jesus came in the second. He made a cross. He made a bridge. He made a way that you can go from the first heaven to the third heaven. You understand that? He is the way. He is the door. He is the only way. There is no other entrance besides Him. He is our God. He is our salvation. He is our everything. Amen. Let's give Him a hand. Hallelujah. He's our Lord and God. Hallelujah. So now Jesus came. We showed you the scriptures up there. We saw on the board. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost said these three are one. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. But then yet a lot of these carnal-minded preachers are teaching you, well, you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to have the Father as a person, and we're going to have the Son as a person, and they say the Holy Ghost a person. I said, there's going to be three thrones. The Bible said there's just one throne. Amen. Well, they'll all three be sitting there, because the Bible does say that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father. Well, let me tell you something. When you go over and read where he's talking about Jesus at the right hand, it was speaking in the book of Revelation, was he the lion or the lamb? Are you going to take those literal? And the right hand always denotes power. When you're speaking about the right hand, if I'm a businessman and I got 50 employees and I say, hey, brother Andy Beach, he's my right hand man. In other words, he's right there with me, walking with me, standing with me and helping me to run this business. Amen. And Jesus, when he was at the right hand of the Father, showed the power. And I could take you back over there to Matthew and said, all power was given unto him. Amen. All power. Amen. All power was given to Jesus. Not just some of it. He was without measure, the Bible said. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. All power had been given unto him. Amen. Amen. This isn't complicated. You know, it's complicated to the carnal mind. But you got to start thinking in the mind of Christ. If you think like a man, you die like a man. But you think like the Lord through the profession of faith of Jesus Christ. Then you can start thinking, I know who I am. I'm born of God. Amen. You must believe. Without believing, you cannot have faith. And you've got to have faith when you believe, or your believing is dead. The devil believes that Jesus is God with fear and trembling, but he's not born again. Amen. So we're going to have to bring some action. Amen. That's what the whole book of Acts is. It's action. That's what it's all about. The action of God. The action of the early church. The action of the ones that were filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm tired of seeing these people say, I'm a Christian, and they're full of dead men's bones, whitewashed sepulchers, just oozing out stench. A stench in the nostrils of God is what the Bible teaches. The Bible says vomit on the tables of God. It's because they don't have God's Spirit. When you have God's Spirit, you've been filled with the holiness of God and the power of God. Amen. You're not ashamed of holiness. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you got the Spirit of holiness in you. The Spirit of holiness brings you to walk in holiness. Amen. And presenting not just your spirit. People say, well, God only looks on the heart. Shut up, please. Come on. I know there's a scripture that says that, but they take it so far out of context. Oh, he just looks on our heart. You know, the Bible says that man's heart's continually evil and divisive, and a man doesn't know his own heart. And if he only looks on the heart, then why did he say present your body, soul, and your spirit? Blameless. Holy. It says without holiness, no man will see God. So we got to present our body holy. He talks about the woman not adorning himself with all the plaiting and all the jewelry and all the stuff. Let him be adorned with this inner quickening of God's Spirit. Amen. That's the beautiful thing to God. Amen. You know, when we say come out of the world and be a peculiar people. See, if I look worldly, then I must be worldly. But God don't look at you that way. No, why did he allow that to be written in the scriptures? Go through the scriptures and read. He said it's an abomination for a woman to wear man's apparel. That's what he says. You know, but see, we've been desensitized in America. You know, hey, it won't be long. We're going to see men running around in dresses going to Walmart. I mean, the way it's going, I just, you know, we're supposed to just accept that. They're training Americans to be sissies. You know, they're putting limitations on them. You know, I heard stories about the guys that were trained in World War II. And nowadays, the soldiers are going to cry, well, you can't talk to me that way. They used to make men. They really used to make men. And nowadays, everybody's got their rights. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. The Laodicean church age that it speaks about in the Bible. Do you realize that Laodicean interpretation means people's rights? And that's what's taken and destroyed America. We gave everybody their right. We don't need to give some Muslim devils rights in the United States of America. If they want Muslim rights, let them go to a Muslim country. This country's supposed to be a country that believes in Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, but it's the freedom of religion. Freedom of religion doesn't let us Christians use the name of Jesus into schools. But you could talk about Buddha. You could talk about Muhammad. and nobody gets upset. You can talk about Allah, but when you say Jesus, they run you out. So who's got rights? This world's messed up, and the Christian people are messed up. When you find the Southern Baptists going and taking and having a convention to find out if they're going to allow these ordained homosexuals, there ain't no convention needed. We got the Word of God. The Bible said it's an abomination to God. He said it's an abomination. Why would we even want, let's vote in an abomination? Come on. You know, we believe in allegories and types and shadows, and God's trying to speak so plain to America that he put a man in office named Obama. Obama nation. You understand? That's pretty easy to think. Well, let me think about that. Gosh. America's gone. They've lost out. Ichabod's being put over the door of America and the religious people of America. They've all sold out. That's why America's in trouble, because the preachers quit preaching the Word of God and they started compromising. Well, I don't want to hurt his feelings. Just come to church. God loves everybody. Just come on in here. God loves everyone. That's a lie from hell. He said, Jacob I loved and Esau have I hated. Esau was still in the womb of his mother and he said he hated him. God said he's angry with the wicked and pursue them off the face of the earth. But they made this big sissy Jesus, the religious people, and he just loves everybody. It ain't that way. He went into the temple when he walked as a man and ran them out with a whip because they defiled the house of God. How much more so would he do today with this abomination that's going on in the religious order. They've made him into a big sissy. They've made him into just, oh, everything's okay. No, that's not the Jesus I read about in the scriptures. We better get real and know who he is. Amen. There ain't a feminine thing about him whatsoever. They make him in Hollywood effeminate. They say that he had an affair with Mary Magdalene, you know, and stuff. That's a lie from hell. It's recorded of the offsprings all the way down through. And if my Lord and God had been married, it would have been recorded right there in that Bible. And it ain't recorded. He didn't come to pass a blood seed. He came to bring another seed. He wasn't born of the seed of man. He was born of the seed of God. Amen. And we're born of the seed of God. And we're not here looking after the flesh. We're talking by the liberty of the Holy Ghost, walking in the Spirit and the power of God. We need to believe the Word. We need to quit being in the way our minds like this church world today. The Church of United States of America. Let me tell you where you find it in the scriptures. It said they surpass land and sea and they make twofold more the child of hell. Proselytes, that's what the Bible says. And that's what America's done. Well, over there, when they were bound in communism in Romania, those people went to church and they were putting their life on the line just to go to church. They had these Russian soldiers come in and stomp them to death and kill them for being Christians and having a church. And when those people went to church, they had faith in God. And then we got the Iron Curtain came down. And then we send the Purdy boys over there, the feminine sissy Purdy boys, like the Benny Hinn's. And they send them over there, and the Joel Osteen's, and they send them over there with their little Purdy boy religion. And it's become a twofold more child of hell. The worst thing that happened to them, the very worst thing that happened to them, is when they got their freedom. You know, God looks to the ones that are broke down. God looks to the ones that are being mistreated. Let me tell you something Brother Pike said about the black race. He was sitting in his car with his wife, and he saw a black man drive by. But this black man drove by in a brand new Cadillac, and he was pulling a big giant boat. And he was, you know, man, he's in heaven. You know, praise God. I'm thankful for that the black man is no longer beat down by the white man and they've come up. I think that's a wonderful thing. That shows freedom. There's a beautiful revelation in that. But Brother Pike looked at that and his wife was right there. He said, that's the worst thing that ever happened to that man. The rich answered haughtily. He said, you know what? He said, the black man has been abused by the white man. And they've crushed him and put him down. And God had pity on him. And God was with the black man. And he would take a broken, contrite spirit is something that he could use. And he said, they were full of the Spirit of God. And they had God. But now they wanted to be like the white man. Well, dumb was that. And he said, now they've climbed up. And they climb up and he said, they don't realize what they've done. He says, now you're like the white man and I'm going to burn you in hell with the rest of the white trash. They climbed up in a haughty mind. They've climbed up in wealth and they would have been better off to be in slavery. You see, people don't understand that because they're carnal minded. Amen. They're carnal minded. I just got done telling you, it's a white race over there in Romania. And when they got their freedom, amen, they went off into this religious Western theology about this Jesus that loves everybody. Let me go to the dance hall. Let me go drink a little bit. Let me snort a little bit. Let me smoke a little bit. That come from the United States trash doctrine. Amen. Sons of God, don't drink. The Bible said no drunkard will have their part in the lake of fire. Will have their part in the lake. Amen. And all liars. It said no drunk will enter in. That's what the Bible says. Amen. You want to drink? You're on your way to hell. Oh, but God got the grace of God. You ain't got no grace of God. You're ignorant. We need to get real with God. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? I know I covered a little bit of territory tonight. Covered some baptism in the wonderful name of Jesus. I know I sound harsh. Sounds like I'm against all of the church world. And that I think I'm the only one that's right. I'm not that ignorant, brethren. I do believe the word, though. The Bible said in this end time it's a small flock. And it said few be there that find it. And it goes on to say that the righteous scarcely make it, it says. And we go back and look at the things of when we find that God got so distraught and grieved that he even made man. He flooded this world. Amen. And only 8 came out. So it kind of gives us an idea how God thinks. You know, we got this teaching in America. Oh, but there's going to be this rapture that takes place. And, you know, God's just going to suck us all off this earth, man. And we're all just going to go up here and all the airplanes. It's going to be such a small flock, brother, and they probably won't even notice it. And you say, I don't believe that, Brother Rob. Well, do you believe the scriptures? That there was only 8 that made it out in the ark? And then you go down that when he brought fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah, and he destroyed all of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and only 4 came out of there. And then his elect were bound up in prison and slavery, and he brought them out, took them across the Red Sea, showing a baptism in the blood. Amen. And he took them out across there and put them out in the wilderness 40 years. And all the ones, when they came out, that were below the age of 20. They're the ones that made it in. They considered the youth. But all the ones above 20, only 2 of them made it. Joshua and Caleb. So it went from 8 to 4, then to 2. Now let's talk about the rapture. Listen to me, saints. It went 8, 4, 2. There's only 1 going to make it this time. Praise God. No, it's me. No. Well, I really get them upset with me. That's the truth, though. There's only 1 going to make it. If you're not bone and bone and flesh of the flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will not make it. Amen. But if you're bone of his bone, you will be caught away, changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortal to immortal. Amen? From telestial to celestial. That's what will happen if you believe, if you have the Spirit of God. If you don't have a spirit, the Bible said you're none of his. Amen? Again, we covered some doctrine about baptism in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When I came to that revelation understanding, I got rebaptized. Because I was lied to by an Assembly of God preacher. He took me down to the water hole and baptized me in the name of titles. There's no remission in titles. There's remission in one name only. And see, this came through Catholicism. Again, they changed that doctrine at the Nicene Council. When they pulled all the priests from all over the world together, they pulled them together in this council, and that's when they changed it. The doctrine that they carried in there was called matter. You see, when we're going back to 300, man was starting to come into science. Bible says science falsely so-called. But they were just learning things that's elementary to you. You know, when you start thinking about a guy named Newton comes up with this gravity. You know, that wasn't way back then. That was, you know, coming on way on up there. But science was talking about matter. Gases, liquids, and solids. That's what matter is. So when they started learning this, some reprobate mind of some priest, oh, I got this revelation. I went to school and I learned some history about matter. And, you know, and there's a little bit of factual truth to this. But where they went wrong is they made it 3-person. You see, I could take water and I could have a solid. I could have a liquid and a gas, steam. But there's one thing. It's just a different manifestation. If we talk about God, the Father's invisible, no man has seen. He came in the fullness in a body. robed himself in flesh. The Word made flesh, the Bible says. Okay, so it's the invisible God, the one that created all things, had no beginning, no end, came into the fullness in this fleshly tabernacle. That was God with us. God walking with us. You understand that? And then when Peter had the revelation of who Jesus was, Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" He said, "Thou art the Christ, the living Son of God." He said, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. That was revealed to you from heaven." And he knew that this man had, that somebody got their eyes open to see who he was. And he said, "Okay, I'm finished what I come here to do." So then he changed his course and he told him just 5 verses down after he had that revelation, 5 verses down, Jesus said, "Well, I've got to go to Jerusalem. You know, they're going to kill me. But in 3 days," they said, "Oh, Lord, we're not going to let that happen to you." He said, "Get you behind me, Satan. You savor the things that be of the flesh." See, that's why a lot of you don't walk in the victory of God, because you savor the things that be of the flesh. You like your man. You like your muscles. You like your looks. You know, you demand. God, that makes me sick. You need to kill that guy and mortify him and bury him in a watery grave of baptism and let Christ come up and let that man stay down. Amen. There's a scripture in the Word that said that he baptized the dead. Well, the Mormons and the Catholics, they think daddy died, well, we're going to go ahead and let somebody stand proxy for him and we're going to get baptized the dead. You know, we're going to baptize dead Freddie. We'll get Mary Lou to go get dunked because Freddie's dead. That's not the Bible. I've been crucified with Christ. You know what that means? I've been killed. I'm dead. And I had to be buried. So they took me to a watery grave and buried me. And when I come forth as a son of God. Amen? And you say, "You believe that water had that much power?" No, but I know the blood did. Hallelujah. And I had to do what the scripture to fulfill the Word. And he said, "Go into all the world baptizing them in that name of that Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That name is Jesus." And the Word had to be fulfilled. So then when they've come to me, I said, "I need baptized." Amen. Hallelujah. When God came and walked among men and John the Baptist was walking and baptizing the people into repentance, my Lord and Savior took time to go be baptized. And when you hear somebody say that they don't need to be baptized, you need to let them know that they're going to go to hell. Amen. Because they need to fulfill the Word of God. Amen. Are you saying, preacher, that if somebody's not baptized, they're going to go to hell? No, I didn't quite say it that way. Let me tell you something. There's a dispensation of grace. And if somebody come into a church, let's go back to the scriptures in the book of Acts. They were over there at the Cornelius's household. And the Holy Ghost came upon these Gentiles. You know, the Gentiles were considered unclean. That's why the sheet came down when Peter was on the rooftop praying. This is why the sheet came down. He said, "I'm not going to eat. I've never had nothing unclean in my mouth." And the Lord rebuked him. He said, "Don't you call unclean what I've cleansed." Amen. He was talking about the Gentiles. Amen. He shed his blood for the Gentiles. Amen. As well as for the Jews. Amen. If they could only believe. So when the Gentiles were standing over there at the house of Cornelius, the Holy Ghost came. It said that came upon them. They heard him speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And it said, "Would anybody forbid these men water?" Now they were already filled with the Holy Ghost. "Would anybody forbid these men water?" And they took and baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So when somebody thinks these people that in the Pentecostal realms, they'll come. And they'll tell you, "Well, I've already been baptized in the Holy Ghost. So I need to get baptized in Jesus' name." Then why did those others do it? See, they're violating the scriptures and the Word of God. We got to stay with the Bible. Forget about what the theologian says. Stay with the Word. Amen. You teach us, Brother Rob, that we need to hear the Word. And I say, yea and amen. And it may be a theologian speaking it. But I'm telling you what, when they start rewriting Bibles and they start changing the Word... Amen. That King James, when it was written, those men were putting their life on the line. They put their life on the line because they said if there was any mistakes, they'd be killed. And nowadays you get some faggot over here in a Bible college and he goes to school while sitting with his boyfriend at night sucking down booze. And then he's going to come and rewrite the Word because he's intellectual. What an abomination. Amen. Some pervert going to go rewrite the Word, or some fleshly man that savors the things of this world going to start rewriting that Bible. Don't mess with it. Don't touch it. read it, believe it, receive it.
Well, I just can't understand the King James Bible, so I read the Living Bible.
You poor thing. You know what, if you'd prayed for God to open up your understanding?
Well, I read the Expounded Version. I read the NIV.
They took the blood. They took so many things out of the NIV that if you would really get a good comparison of the two, you'd be afraid of it. I had an Assembly of God preacher give me an NIV when I first gave my life to the Lord. Man, I read it. You know, and I mean, that's what I studied in. Man, my preacher gave it to me. You know, I still got some of that stuff in my spirit, believe it or not. You know, from early years of Christianity, man, and I have to purge that stuff out. I use terms that sometimes, many of them are accurate. Let me tell you, so the NIV's got a lot of accurate things. It's a very good Bible in a lot of ways, but they took a lot of power out of it. I don't want to take power out of nothing. Amen. I want all power. Hallelujah. I want to walk in the power of the Lord. Amen. I don't want something watered down. I don't want something that some lukewarm theologian messed with. Amen. I believe in the Word. Amen. And we better stay with the Word. Irene's sister was a Catholic girl. And she comes and she goes, I can't believe you read the King James Bible. She said, that King James, man, he was a pedophile and he was a whoremonger. And said, King James didn't write it. He just happened to be a king of a country that it was against the law to touch the Bible. You couldn't do nothing with the scripture. It was a law of the land. And then the king, he was the sitting king, okay? And he had to give him permission to do that. He didn't do the interpretation. He didn't know nothing about it. He just said, hey, I'm the king. Okay, I'll sign this legislation and y'all translate it to English. He wasn't rewriting it. But the law came in and said that if they made any mistakes, that they'd be put to death. Come on now. Go over here to the Bible college and tell them, say, boy, if you mess up on this test, we're going to kill you. I'll just stay dumb. Bible does say write it, put it in a book, and send it to the church. Amen. I love y'all and appreciate you. Let's stand to our feet. Many things could be said. I trust that God will help you not to let anything slip. Amen. That's what the Word says. These things that you hear, pray that God would open up the mind of revelation to you, the mind of Christ to you, that you could hear, that you could perceive, that you could comprehend the Word of God. Amen. And I know I sound strong. It sounds like I'm beating up the Baptists and the Methodists and the Church of God and the Pentecostals. And I'm sorry, but they're all failing, brethren. The religious world has failed America, and I'm grieved with them. There would be a time that I could have stand with me them. I considered myself a Pentecostal preacher one time, but I'm afraid to say that anymore. There's so much foolishness going on in the Pentecostal churches that I don't even want to be numbered with it. There might have been a time I could have been numbered with many of these denominations. You know, some of you think, well, you know, Brother Branham was a great man of God. And I say, well, praise God, but I'm not going to be numbered with the Message Church today. They're all struggling and fighting, going off to ball games and playing sports and stuff. God's not pleased with that. Bible said when you become a man, you put childish things away. Amen. And the thing is we need to take the finances for the gospel of Christ and use it for the utilization of winning souls, not building sports arenas, basketball things and stuff. The school's got that. The carnal people got that. If they want to play ball, let them go play with the people of this world. Well, we want to get them in the church, Brother Rob. It ain't working. Can't you see it ain't working? You get them over in your church and you make them into ball players and then they're running around playing ball and they don't know nothing about God. Come on, man. We got to get some things turned around here. God's sick of this dried up religion in America. America's in trouble. You say, well, you're an American, ain't you? I'm a son of God. The Bible said I'm an ambassador for Christ. That means I'm not of this world. I come from heaven. That's what the Bible says. I came from heaven. And you say, oh, you were born just like me. That guy was crucified with Christ. He no longer lives. Why do you want to keep digging that man up? Let him die and let him stay buried and start believing the Word of God. What you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you do unto me. Why? Because we're the sons of God, part of that body. You slam the door in my face when I'm bringing Jesus to you. You slam the door in Jesus Christ's face. You understand that? That's what he said in his Word. We got to get real with the Word and quit playing games. Amen. I love y'all. Let's sing a song before I go preaching. Amen.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
What a wonder you are.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord God. The altars are open this evening.
You are so gentle.
Hallelujah.
So pure and so kind.
Thank you, Jesus.
You shine.
You love the Lord tonight, saints.
Like a bright morning star.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.
What a wonder you are.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus. What a wonder you are. You are so gentle. So pure and so kind.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You
shine. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, there's no doubt. Amen.
And I agree. I see what you're saying.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And I'm not about my knee on a Friday night.
I don't want to bow
my knee. I want to
bow my knee.
Amen. Just a thank
you. Amen. Amen. Shira mataria satra seteri andere makosi tiriaki. Ori andriaki amatalaya sheteri masondro no makisa tadamaki. Father, I thank you for this brother, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for his heart, his spirit, his love that he really has for you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that his ears were open to receive the word of God, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, and I praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's continue to worship the Lord, saints. Brother Roland wants to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, saints of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So fine.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Like a bright morning star.
Thank you, Lord God.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Sunday afternoon be soon enough? Okay. All right, we'll get the baptism tank cleaned up over the weekend, and Brother Ted back there needs to be baptized in Jesus' name also. He spoke to me, said he asked me if I'd baptize him, and you know, I appreciate Brother Roland receiving the word. Amen. You know, when I preach doctrine like I did tonight, Brother Roland, some people think that you're being ugly to all these other people. But you see, they've just been deceived. I love them people. I was one of them. I was a Trinitarian minister. And I was baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I sent a man to California to rebaptize for me. You know, and I said, I can't do that. I was preaching the gospel. You know, I love the Lord. There was no doubt about it. But then when I come to the revelation of Jesus' name baptism from my pastor, preaching just like what you heard tonight,
I said, my God, I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And you say, oh man, but you know, you were laying hands on people. They were being healed, this and that. Well, see, the rain comes on just and unjust. Right. You see, and you say, well, God knew in the foreknowledge of God, even before baptism, that's what I was going to do, and I was his elect. You say, well, you think he's not born again? I didn't say that. Not so ever. That's what my pastor said to me. I said, I read his book on baptism. I said, my God, according to your book, brother, I ain't even, man, I'm not even saved. He said, oh, no, just the simple fact that you come to that revelation proves that you were saved before the foundation of the world. Amen. Brother, and I know it sounds like we're beating up the Trinitarians or the oneness people or this and that, but brother, we're preaching the gospel, and the word has been compromised. The people of America are deceived. Come on now, saints. I mean, you know, there's too many scriptures that they're trampling on. Too much word that they're trampling to pieces. Too much. And we need to stay with the word of God. If it makes us unpopular, praise be to God. They hated Jesus. He was the word and he brought the word. They hated him and he said, they're going to hate you also. He said he didn't give them no reason to hate him. And he said, you won't either. He said, they hated me and they're going to hate you also. And let me tell you, the message here tonight, 95% of the religious world in the United States would reject that and run from it 100%. But it's a small flock. Now let's think about where Jesus was preaching at. He was preaching in Jerusalem. Come on now. The most holy city, the most holy place. The Sanhedrin was there. The priest, the high priest was there. Come on now. These people were there, and they rejected him. They rejected him. They were the most religious people, and they reject him. Brethren, we've been rejected. Amen. The religious people reject us. But we're not religious. We're Christians. We're sons of God. We're born again. Well, they say the same thing. Well, the Bible said some believe a lie and are damned. And if you are a son of God, you'll speak God's word. And when God's word comes, you'll receive God's word. The truth will set you free. When you got the Spirit of God, without His Spirit, you're none of His. If you got His Spirit, the Spirit will draw you to the truth. And when you hear the truth, your ears are going to open up. You say, my God, I need this revelation. I need this word. I need this. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give Him a hand. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.